The scripture for today's sermon is Psalm 29, and I'll be reading it from the NIV. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. And the Lord blesses his people with peace.
The text this morning is could have been taken from a meteorologist if you didn't know you're reading the Bible. I don't know if you guys enjoy a good thunderstorm, but I always grew up enjoying a good storm. I have memories as a child going out on the front porch and kind of being excited for the thunderstorm coming. And just the downpour of rain and just hearing it around and the thunder and lightning. Now, at nighttime when I was sleeping, it was a little scarier, but it was something about, and the whole family would actually go out and we'd almost get excited for these storms to come. And then as I went out to Heston College in Kansas, they really have some thunderstorms out there in the Midwest, in the just incredible power of storms. And in the text this morning out of Psalms is of God as a storm. And we'll look at that this morning and then wrestle with the question of where God is at in the midst of actual physical storms, destructive storms even, and then our own storms in our own lives. Finding God in the storm. So as I said, if you didn't know that you're reading from the Old Testament this morning, you might have thought that this writer was a storm chaser. I don't know if you ever watched that TV show in reality TV show, Storm Chasers. After all, the heart of Psalm 29 is an enthusiastic and extended report of a powerful thunderstorm that may have formed over the Mediterranean Sea, as we read in verse 3, and that proceeded to crash onto the coast of Palestine and to make its way inland. The storm damage is in view, as you see in verses 5 and 9. It was a result of high winds in verses 6 and 8 that was accompanied by sharp lightning, verse 7, and the constant rumble of thunder, which is meant by the voice of the Lord. There's a thunderstorm going on in the psalm this morning, and God is somewhere in the middle of all of it. Indeed, maybe God is the thunder. God is the fire. God's voice is the thunder, shaking the desert and snapping trees like twigs. Even the famous cedars of Lebanon are wiped out in this text this morning. If you love storms and floods, this is kind of an exciting text. Unless, of course, it's a storm that wipes out your home. Then it's not so exciting and probably brings some trauma. The text this morning resonates with an old Canaanite myth of creation about the thunder god, Baal, who tamed the watery chaos and its wild sea monster to make creation. See, the context that this writer is in is that there's lots of different gods connected to the earth and storms. So in this story this morning, Psalm 29's version of it, it's the God of Israel who not only tames the chaos, it's the Holy One who controls it in the first place. In this cultural world of Psalms, a classic medium for describing the divine victor was victory over the counterforces of chaos that bring about the world and manifest the reign of deity. Seven times the voice of the Lord here is referred to, with thunderstorm helping us visualize the awesome power of God in creating, organizing, and sustaining power. The writer of this text, by comparing God, Yahweh, to a thunderstorm, is affirming the great power of God as creator and sustainer of the world. In a cultural context where there's so many different gods competing for loyalty to the people of Israel, this very clearly says there's one God, Yahweh, who is creator and sustainer, all-powerful God. I can see God's power in the storm, but it's also hard sometimes to see God's compassion in the storm. Sometimes it's hard, as verse 11 says, to see the peace of God in the storm. When we think of thunderstorms, I kind of get excited because I like weather. But then again, I've never been really affected by a really bad storm. I haven't had to fear for my life in the middle of a storm. I haven't had family that's passed away from a storm. This week, we've heard many stories of the major floods in Texas. I have a few pictures here to put up to help us visualize the great power and force of storms. And Todd, you can put them up here. Record-setting rains left officials in Texas scrambling to assess the scope of the damage and to look for survivors. I mean, it's just incredible amounts of water that came down and so fast. You can go to the next one. We're also not that far removed from the great earthquake in Nepal. Just incredible amounts of power in this earthquake that just completely took down homes. And then there's one more too. See the destruction of the storm. God's power here is compared to a thunderstorm. And yet, where is God in the midst of these storms that have heard about and witnessed? It's not just physical storms, though, that this text is referring to, I don't think. God, I believe, is also in the storms of our own lives. We all have our own storms as well. Sickness. Financial stress. Job transitions. Maybe it's our own temptations or sins that we struggle with. Lust, greed, violence. We all have our own storms that we go through. I know a minor thunderstorm that I'm going through myself is just in these summer months. It's something about when it gets warmer outside. It's just a little harder for me to stay present and focused, especially at the hospital right now, where I just want to be outside or doing something else than just being at work, if I'm going to be honest. Maybe I want to be out on the trail walking. It's an incredibly small storm that almost feels trivial to name when you think about other crises that people are going through. But it's just being honest that it's harder to stay focused right now in the summer months. All of us can think of storms that we're going through, probably. So where is God in these storms? Well, I believe that this text tells us that we serve a God that is all around us. Where is God in the storm? God is right there. God is suffering with those who are in the storm as well. God is suffering with those who have lost their homes. Let's not forget that we serve a God who knows what it's like to not have a home. Jesus didn't have a home. He was a refugee. Jesus was on the margins from the very time he was born. Jesus was homeless. It's not as if we serve a God who has never experienced a hardship. If we go back to the text, after the destructive power of this storm, Psalm 29 does not end with a final blow that destroys the world, although we might think that's where it's headed. Ironically enough, in the midst of the storm, it ends with a word of peace. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Sometimes it feels like there's been violence unleashed on our world. And I think the biggest thing is it feels just out of control. There's absolutely no control that we have. Like the road we're on is not leading anywhere good. We just need help. And in this psalm narrative this morning of God bringing storms and peace, we have a frame of presence around the picture of our lives. And I think what we can take away from this text this morning is that whatever the circumstance, whatever the storm, the psalm seems to say, God is here in the storm. Paul says it differently in the New Testament, but it's a similar tone. In the short view, if you think about a map and you're really zoomed in, and then you zoom out, sometimes I think we're too zoomed in when we're looking at our maps of the world and what's going on around us. We're very, very zoomed in, and so we can't really see the larger perspective. When I'm looking for directions, sometimes I'll zoom in a lot to see the actual names of the roads, and then I'll zoom out to get a bigger picture. This morning, when we think about storms, our own storms and where God is at and destructive storms, I invite us to take that cursor and browse out. Look at the big picture here for a little bit. Help us to get some frameworks of here. In the short view, when we're zoomed in, everything seems impossible and just kind of angry, I guess. God, how could this happen? You're a God that loves creation. Why would you send that storm and flood them out? This is not how the world is supposed to be, right? What kind of God sends floods and natural disasters on his very creation? But zoom out a little bit. In the long view, however, is plain in the biblical tradition, and that's this. We are not God. God is God. We don't understand everything, but we're invited to trust in this God. God's got this. It's going to be all right. Beyond our personal preferences, better than our best plans, surpassing humanity's capacity to figure things out, and I think that that's where it was hard, is we just want to figure this out for ourselves. we can still see this slow curve of evolution towards justice, goodness, and community that is unfolding on this earth. Even when we see these destructive things around us, we have to believe and know and have the eyes to see that the earth is bending towards the kingdom of God. It's what Matthew's story of Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven coming to earth. It's hidden in everything but hard to see. That's why following Jesus is a lot about trust and faith. What would genuine trust feel like for us here at Whitmer Heights if we were to go through a major storm that literally flooded out the church? The mystic Julian of Norwich lived around the 4th century in Norwich, England. During the time of the plague, just incredible amounts of suffering that we can't imagine. But amid the turmoil of that time, she became deathly ill. And she wrote this even in the midst of dire hardship. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. God is still in the storm. And if God's in the storm and we are God's people, that means that we're in the storm together. The storm's not meant to be in it alone. We're not meant to walk through the storms alone. And that's why God's given us each other and the Spirit of God to be the church for one another in the storms. We need a community of people to help us through storms. And that's where I see God's grace today being embodied among us. Whether it's in taking a meal to someone who's going through a sickness. Right now we are taking meals to Don and Ginny. Whether it's using gifts of music to bless someone. I'm aware that we're celebrating and honoring Leslie today, and the way she has gifted us with music here at Whitmer Heights. And my aunt's a music therapist, and she takes music into the hospitals. And it's an incredible therapy when words can't touch like the way that music can sometimes. In different storms, we're called to be there for one another. And then I think about the actual storms like this. Where is God there, and how is God calling us to be one another in the midst of storms? Well, I think we see God at work today, even in those storms. If you can go to the next picture. I love this picture here. Incredible destruction around, and yet there's the sign, and there, imagine this is right when they got on site and they put that in there, and they don't even have their own place set up yet to house their own volunteers. But there it is, Mennonite Disaster Service, and the cross and symbol of community. You can go to the next picture. Some of us have had experiences with Mennonite Disaster Service. And I want to give a few different places of where we see God at work in the storm and how the community comes together in the midst of storms. The MDS, the Mennonite Disaster Service West Texas Unit, right now is currently responding to flooding in Texas, Seminole, Texas. Let's pray for them, that they would be safe, and that the people that they're meeting would be safe, as they're showing them the love of Christ in physical ways. In British Columbia, the Mennonite Disaster Service Unit is investigating the impact of a violent storm and flash flooding, which hit the Cache Creek area on May 23rd. Let's pray for them too. Dozens of homes were affected and residents evacuated. The Mennonite Disaster Service East Texas unit continues to respond and clean up in the Van, Texas area, where a tornado caused significant damage in late May. Let's pray for them. In Nashville, Arkansas, right now, the Mennonite Disaster Service Arkansas unit is cleaning and repairing homes as a result of recent tornadoes and high winds. Let's pray for the people of Nashville, Arkansas, right now. In Oklahoma, the Mennonite Disaster Service unit is working in the Bridge Creek area southwest of Oklahoma City in response to more tornado damage. And finally, the South Dakota unit, working late last week in the Delmont, South Dakota area, cleaning up communities after a tornado. There are storms all around us, and yet people are responding with the love of Christ and meeting physical needs. We have opportunities to also join in that work, and John Landis has been our MDS rep for a number of a very long time, and I think he's going to be transitioning out of that. And we're going to need a new representative for MDS. And maybe it can encourage all of us to think about how we can partner together to be the hands and feet of Christ in the midst of physical storms. But even in our own community here, in the different storms that we face each day, can we remember out of this text that God is with us in the storm? That we really can believe that the Lord blesses His people with peace, even when it's hard to see it in the moment when we're really zoomed in. And can we be the people of God together in the storm, showing God's love and compassion to one another, being the hands and feet of Christ in the storm? As I would like to end this sermon with all of us reading together at the back of your bulletin. It's actually the gathering, but we use it as responding. Let's read this responsively. I'll start. The angels shout, "God is amazing," when they see God's glory, when they see God's strength.
May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace.
The voice of the Lord thunders over the waters, powerful and full of majesty.
May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace.
The Lord's voice crashes through the trees, flashes in the wilderness, and rattles the land.
May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace.
The Lord reigns over the floods. The Lord reigns over creation. The Lord reigns over all peoples.
May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace.
Let us pray. God, You are the thunderstorm in this text, revealing Your great power. And yet we know that You are also with us in the storm. God, even Jesus experienced storms and yet showed us how to trust in You through the storms, that You are always with us. God, I pray for these physical storms around the world right now and right here in the United States. I pray for all the people affected by the disasters, people whose basements were flooded out, people who even lost their very lives. Would Your peace comfort them right now? And would the Mennonite Disaster Service units and all the other units who are responding have the strength and energy and wisdom to know how to safely help people as they begin to rebuild? And God, for our own storms here in our own lives and in our congregation and community, we pray for Your continued presence with us, that we may be able to serve one another and walk with one another through the different storms of life. And we thank You that You are with us always. May we know Your peace, in Jesus' name, amen.